Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moed Katan is daf Yud. Thanks to Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned as definition of Tos Lupin Zaltzman. We are on the bottom of Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah that we have been discussing and analyzing takes us back to Ches Amud Beis, and the Mishnah talks about the prohibition of marriage. You can't get prohibition of marriage. It's a mitzvah to get married. The prohibition of getting married in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed. The Gemara gave us four different explanations of why that should be. Why the Chachamim banned marriage on Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah talked about other halachas of Chol HaMoed that pertain to a woman. Putting on makeup, that was our discussion yesterday. That was really primarily yesterday's stuff. We have a little bit to finish up today in terms of women and hair care. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss stitching, and that will be a good part of today's daf, at least until the next Mishnah, which we're going to get to, God willing, later on this morning. So let's talk a little bit more about women and care, hair care, skin care. So if you go back to what we ended yesterday, so let's start at the two dots. I know I read a little bit of it yesterday, but let's just start again. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Sasud, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Isha Lo Sasud B'nei Shenibah Hu La. Okay. A woman can't put on a sid. It's some sort of application. It's like a facial, right? Sid is usually translated as lime, as the mineral. Okay, but the umod Rav Yehuda, so I'm sorry. So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion in this brisa that she can't put on this application because nivahula, it's disgusting. Meaning, obviously, women put it on because after removal, it refreshes, it rejuvenates, but at the time, while they're wearing it, so it's nevel, and as we'll see in just a moment, not only is it unattractive, but it's also going to be painful to peel off. So umod Rav Yehuda b'sid she'chol akapa b'moed she'tovlasa b'moed she'afa pisha mitzir achshas mechilachar zman. But Rav Yehuda will agree that if it's already been applied, so she can peel off on moed, even though the peeling it off is going to be uncomfortable, but nevertheless, since it's going to have a positive benefit for a future point, meaning, I don't know how long it takes, but the skin will be rejuvenated after it's peeled off, so therefore it's going to be okay, it'll be acceptable. Good, that's Rav Yehuda's position. So again, to put the application on to begin with that, no, but to peel it off on Chol HaMoed, that you're allowed to do. Misle de Rav Yehuda, Haizvar, Vatanan. And the Gemara compares this halacha of Chol HaMoed regarding a woman peeling off the facial to a different halacha, what would seem to us to be totally unrelated halacha, but at least the same idea, which is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nifrei Mehem and Meisha Meitzar. You're allowed to collect money from a kusi. Remember, this was the first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, where the Mishnah over there says that 3 days prior to a yontif, you're not allowed to do any type of business transaction with a guy. Now, say a guy over here, we're really talking about someone who was over at Avodah Zarah, because if it's 3 days within his yontif, I say yontif obviously over here very loosely, but if it's 3 days within his yontif, so obviously he's going to get excited. He'll connect it to his God, lowercase g, and he'll thank his God, lowercase g, and you are going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. You're going to be aiding and abetting his Avodah Zarah. So therefore, no business transactions 3 days before their, what the Mishnah over there refers to as an aid, Aleph Yudalit. So the Rav Yehuda, and that Mishnah allows you to collect a loan from a non-Jew. Hey, Nanju owes you money, you're allowed to collect a loan. Mimisha Meitza. And why should that be? Because it's going to be difficult for the Nanju, meaning he's parting with his money, really unpleasant. Amrullah, they say to Rav Yehuda, Mimisha Meitza, Akshav, Samechul Achazman. They say to Rav Yehuda, okay, I understand. At the time of paying back the loan, that's going to be difficult and uncomfortable, but then a day later, 2 days later, the relief he's going to feel for being debt free. That's right, it's fantastic. He has no money anymore. So they said the Chacham. So the Chacham said to Rav Yehuda, "No, we disagree with you because although it is going to be detrimental now, it'll be beneficial later on." So you hear that idea? Detrimental now, but beneficial later on. So in the world of Avodah Zarah, Rav Yehuda says that's not going to help. Here in Chol HaMoed, peeling off the facial, detrimental now, beneficial later, and Rav Yehuda says, "Oh, that's good." So that's why the Gemara is comparing the two issues. I'm Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So and it's a stira. Let me make the basic point, which is that in Chol HaMoed, Rav Yehuda says that's fine. Detrimental now, beneficial later. That's fine. And in meanwhile, in the world of Avodah Zarah, detrimental now, beneficial later, that's not fine. So, Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hanach Lehilchos Moed Dekulo Meister Achshav Sameach Lachar Zmanenu. So, answer number one. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, leave Chol HaMoed out of the discussion. Why? Because in the world of Chol HaMoed, everything which is allowed in Chol HaMoed is detrimental now, beneficial later. Cooking. Cooking is work. It's laborious. And meanwhile, it's okay in Chol HaMoed. So what do you see about cooking? Detrimental now, beneficial later. So, Chol HaMoed is a totally different world of halacha. You can't compare Chol HaMoed to any other area of halacha. Ravina Amar Kusilinyan Piron Lola Meitzar. And Ravina gives a different answer. No, we could say that we'll attack it from the other end, from the Avodah Zarah end. The Kusi does not look at the paying back of a loan the same way we would necessarily look at it. We would understand that you pay back the loan. Yes, it hurts to part with your money. But then, later on, you're going to realize you are no longer in debt. Oh, that's joyous. The Kusi, now I don't understand the psychology over here, but the Kusi, paying back the loan, it's always going to bother him. Meaning, he parted with his money. Granted, he no longer owes the money anymore, but the Gemara says, La'ola Meitzar. It's always going to be detrimental to him. And that's why it could be that Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally agrees, detrimental now, beneficial later is okay, like here in Chol HaMoed. And the Avodah Zarah case is just simply different because it never will be beneficial towards the Kusi. I'm Rav Yehuda ben Yisrael Shigila Pirkam Lo Yigila Shanim Anias Toflo So Sam Besed. If I have ben Yisrael that have arrived to physical maturity and the Lo Yigila Shanim, but they're not old enough yet. So basically, they are developing a little too fast physically, physiologically, and so therefore. The family would like to make her look younger. A younger girl would be more attractive. So, Anios Toflos Osam B'Sid, so if they're poor, so Sid. So in other words, the lime application, everyone please realize I'm not giving, cosmetic advice over here, just going over the Gemara and hopefully get out of it the best we can. But the poor people who cannot afford much, so they would treat themselves with the lime application. And, Tofelos number Sid. Asher is Tofelos Abbe Solos. And the wealthier girls would use Solos, some wheat-based application to, again, remove the hair and basically rejuvenate the skin. But notice Malachim B'Shem and Amor. And what would the daughters of King use? They would use Shem and Amor. The Gemara gives a translation. Shenemar, not a translation, but a pasuk. Shishach HaShem B'Shem and Amor. By Esther, we know that any woman who presented herself to the king, and when I say presented herself, I'm speaking nicely, but when any woman presented herself to the king, so she had a year preparation before going to Achashverosh, and of that year preparation, 6 months of that year, she had an application of Shem and Hamor. Good. So my Shem and Hamor, so what exactly is that? Now the Gemara is going to give a definition. Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Satacht. Okay, does that help us? Maybe. Rav Yirmiya Ba'ami Amar Shem and Zayish Lo'i V'Shlish. It's olive oil, but from olives that were not developed. They haven't even arrived at a third of its development. Tanya Rav Yehuda Amar An Pikon Shem and Zayish Lo'i V'Shlish. An Piknon, which we discussed back in Masechta Shabbos. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara Menachos. So that's oil where the olive has not yet even been a third ripened. V'lama sachmer so, and instead of eating it, so what do women do with it? Again, now in the context of our discussion, we're going to say wealthy women, right? Benos malachim. So what do they do with it? So they rub it on their skin. Shemeshar saser ma'adin es abasar. It removes hair and it rejuvenates the skin. Rabbi had a daughter, and an application was done to his daughter where he applied it one limb at a time. Shakoba dal meizuze, and he made his daughter so attractive that the dowry, the other way around, the ksuva that was promised from the man to the woman was dal meizuze, was 400 zuz. Okay, that's a lot, right? Remember your mishayas and ksuvos. Right, standard Basula got 200 zuz, so Dal Meir zuz, so he was able to fetch 400 zuz for his daughter by making her look so good. Now, Kusi B'Shivuse, there was a non-Jew living in Rabibi's community, right, saw what Rabibi did, and said, hey, if he could do it, I could do it as well. Havale Barta Tafle Bechad Zimna. But over here, though, he didn't replicate exactly what Rabibi did. Rabibi did it one limb at a time, right? The skin cannot handle an entire application to the whole body. He did an entire application to the whole body, Umesa. And tragically, his daughter died. Amar Kalabibi Labarti. And what's the move? Blame the Jew. So that's exactly what he did. Bibi, Kala Bibi Labarti. Bibi killed my daughter. Okay, obviously, with a little thought, a little perspective, we realize that's not what happened. He killed his daughter. But he doesn't want to take responsibility. He blamed Bibi for doing so. Amrav Nachman, Rabibi Deshasi Shikra, Bain Bante Tafla. Rabibi drinks a lot of beer. A lot of beer is drunk in the family. The Gemara but the Gemara assumes a correlation between heavy drinking of beer and hair, right? Growth of hair. Okay, again, I'm not speaking medically, scientifically about it. The Gemara assumes that there's a correlation, and the Gemara says, Rabibi, who drinks beer, so his daughter needs this kind of application to remove the hair. But we're not beer drinkers, so our daughters did not drink the beer. Could contribute to the, I don't know what to call it, but it's not Torah, but it's, everybody knows, women drink from the Havdalah, so, right, the growth of hair. I don't know where that comes from, but the Gemara over here at least doesn't say it, but speaks to this idea that the drinking of beer does contribute to hair growth. Okay, that was awkward, but let me move on. Yud Amud Aleph, we're on the top of the next Amud, and we're continuing in the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah has a discussion, an analysis of what we could do regarding women and Chol HaMoed. We talked about marriage with women, we talked about women and cosmetics, and now we talk about stitching. And the Mishnah says, "Ha-hejo tofer kedarko." So if you're a hejo, meaning you don't know much about stitching, right? Ripping the pants. So what you could do is you could basically take out your little sewing kit and you stitch, but you're nothing close to a professional. So the Mishnah says tofer kedarko. So then you could stitch like you normally do. Hechidami ha-hejo. Okay, definition. What is that? Or, what does that mean, hejo? How do you know that you're not professional? I'm a debir raviyana. Kol sheni yochel la'otzi malomacha bavas achas. If you can't pull in one fell swoop, right? Rashi over here gives a description where basically, I'm paraphrasing Rashi, you basically loop a bunch of stitches in, but you don't tighten, and then you get to the end of a series of loops, and then you pull, and because you're so good, all the stitches that you did come together seamlessly, both literally and figuratively. So good. So that is considered professional. If you can't do that, so you're not professional, and the Mishnah says that's good. That you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. I'm going to be Rabbi Yana Kol Sheni Yochel La'otzi Malamachat Bevas Achas. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Amar Kol Sheni Yochel La'chavin Imar Bechefes Chaluko. If you cannot make a hem on a straight line, right? Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, Einu Yodea Litzchov Oso Beged Av She'osim Mimenu Imra Bechefes Chaluko El Sheba Mokum Echad Mekatzov Mokum Echad Marchivo. One area of the hem is short, one area of the hem is long, so you don't know how to make a straight hem. Under those circumstances, you're good, meaning you're not considered an uman, you're not considered a professional, and consequently, you could do that on Chol HaMoed. Ha'uman machli. Now, if you're an uman, if you are a professional stitcher, a tailor. So if you're a professional, so what do you do on Chol HaMoed? Again, you can't do it in your professional manner. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, machliv. Strange word. The Gemara analyzes. My machliv, Rav Yochanan Amar Mafsia. Rav Yochanan says, Mafsia, Rashi describes as being wide gaps. Meaning when you stitch, don't stitch tight stitches together. Make them wide apart. So that is that makes you a professional becoming now an unprofessional or doing it in an unprofessional manner, and that's okay in Chol HaMoed. Rabba Bar Shmuel Amar, Shina Kabasa, make it look like the teeth of a dog. In other words, in a professional stitch would be a straight line going across. Rashi describes Shina Kabasa, you look at the teeth of a dog, it's jagged. So so that's when to become an unprofessional stitcher, so you go not in a straight line but in jagged lines as you're stitching, and that would be acceptable. Misarginus Amitos, it's a little bed talk now. Nowadays, as we mentioned yesterday, we're a little bit spoiled, and by a little bit I mean, wow, are we spoiled? In the good old days, instead of sleeping on springs, what they used to do is they used to have four beams, and they would have stitching between the beams, basically like a weave between the beams, and you would lie down on top of the weave, and that would be your bed. That would be everyone's bed. That's how beds were made in the good old days.
Some beds
Right, correct. Right, right? But we lay down a little piece of wood, and then but then we put the mattress on top, and the mattress has got springs. But you're right. In other words, right? Correct. Okay. So are you allowed to weave a bed? Right. So now you understand we're talking about weaving a bed. Are you allowed to weave a bed in Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah says Misargen es amitos. Now, if you look back at the Mishnah, let's remind each other. Going back to Chesam and Beis, so the Mishnah brought down a Machlokas Tanayim. So the Tanakam of the Mishnah said Misargen es amitos, that you are allowed to do Siruv, which we're going to define in just a moment, or at least attempt to define. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer Mematchin. Now, Mematchin probably means, all right, I'm being cautious in my language, because I know the Gemara coming up. Mematchin probably means to tighten it, right? So mituach means to pull on it and to tighten it. Okay, so what? But here's what we know for sure: there's a machlokas in the Mishnah of what you can do to the bed. Okay, and what it certainly seems like from the Mishnah, and you'll see this in the Gemara, is that Rav Yossi is being more machmir than the Tanakama. Tanakama is allowing more to be done in terms of the stitching of the bed. Okay, let's see the Gemara now. So my misargin. So what the Gemara wants to know: what does exactly this mean, misargin, and my mamachin? Okay, good. So we know there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. We know the Tanakam allows sirug. We know Rabbi Yossi only allows mituach. What is that? So kiyas Rav Dimi. So we're going to have our first opinion, and that's Rav Dimi. Okay, you've been through the daf enough times to know. Whenever you see this format, kiyas Rav Dimi. So at a later point in time this morning, you're going to expect and you're going to get kiyas Ravin. Right. In other words, Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to tell over to the Bavliim, to the Talmid Chachamim of Bavel, this is how I heard in Eretz Yisrael. And then Ravin's going to come in from Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to give a slightly different report of how he heard it. Okay, this is almost always how the format works whenever you see the words Kiyasa Rav Dimi. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Pligi Bar Rebbe Chia Bar Abba Rav Yasi. So he says in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, here's how I heard it from the Rebbeim of Rebbe Chia and Rav Yasi. And they heard it in the names of the original Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yochanan and Chizkia, Chan Amar, and one of them say, the Gemara does not give us attribution of who said what, Misargin Shesi Ve'erev. Misargin means that you could stitch your bed and go in both directions. Shesi, that's the vertical. Erev, that's the horizontal. Okay, I know with a bed which is already flat, hard to know what's what, but okay, Shesi. Right, Shesi, right, going up and down, and Erev going across, right, east-west, if you will. So, according to one opinion, that's what the Tanakhama allows. That's Misargin. And then, Mematzchin, Shesi below Erev, and then Mematzchin, which is what Rav Yossi allows, I only allow Mituach, that means Shesi below Erev. Meaning you can only go in one direction, but you cannot go in the perpendicular direction. The Chanamar Misargin Shesi below Erev. And the other says, no, Misargin means Shesi below Erev, meaning he's more strict in the way he understands the Mishnah. What the Tanakam allows is only one direction. And then, Menmatchim Sheyarafu Menmatcho. And what's Rav Yossi's position? Not even that. I can't even stitch in one direction. The only thing you could do on Chol HaMoed is that if the ropes get a little saggy, you could just tighten the ropes. But you cannot stitch the bed to begin with. Ini the Gemara says, "Vatani Rabbi Tachlifa Barshav B'Shav Mishain Mavshil and Chaval Lachatchila." So the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Tachlifa Barshav. Even though there's a debate in our Mishnah about whether you could do sirug or mituach, but everyone's in agreement that you cannot, roll the ropes. That's not the right word. What's it called? Twist. There we go. You can't twist the ropes, meaning you can't make the ropes to begin with. You have to braid the ropes, that's better. So you can't braid the ropes. You have to have the ropes already. But if the requirement is that you're going to need to braid the ropes, that's already way too much work on your Chol HaMoed, and that you're not allowed to do. Now, Bisham, Laman, Darman, Misagin, Shasi, Ve'erav, Maskin, Shasi, below Erev. So if you're going to go with the first approach, which is that Sirug is both lengthwise and crosswise, and Mituach is only lengthwise, but not crosswise, so then, good. That's the point of contention. The point of agreement would be we can't braid the ropes. Then I totally understand. But if we're going to go with the second approach, that sirug is only a stitching lengthwise but not crosswise, and mituach is neither. I can't do either. But the only thing I could do is I could just tighten. Hashi Shesti Ve'era Amar Lo Chaval Mechatchila Mibaye. So that means that, according to the second approach, everyone's in agreement that I cannot stitch a bed like I normally would, which means I can't do Shesti and Erev. Now, if I can't do Shesti and Erev, of course we cannot do Gidol. Meaning, why is Rav Tachlifi telling us that everyone agrees you can't do Gidol? Say it better. You can make a much better point. Everyone agrees that you can't do Shesti Ve'erev. So Kasha. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. That's difficult. Amar Rav Nachman Yisak LeRabbi Chia Bar Avin Miik Alamanda Amar Misagin Shesti Below Erev Vatnan. Now, is there really a position that Misargin is Shesti Below Erev? Let's take a look together at a Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, everyone knows about what's about to happen. We're going to learn a Mishnah in Kalim. Kalim is a first Masechta in Seder Taharos. We don't go through it in the Daf Yomi, obviously. It's not part of the, it doesn't have Gemara. It's 30 Prakim. We are in the 16th Perek of the Masechta. And basically, the Mishnah in Kalim, I did not go through the Mishnah in Kalim, so I do not want to give that impression. Others in this room have, but the Mishnah in Kalim basically tell us, I've gone through enough Gemara where, you know, you know. Basically, when is the Kli a finished product? And that's important because when a Kli is a finished product, it's Mekabel Tumah. Prior to the end of processing, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So, basically, the Mishnah in Kalim is going to teach us is, when it comes to a bed, when does a bed become a finished product? That's the Mishnah in Kalim. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hamita, Mishi Yisrog Bar Shlosha Batim. When it comes to the bed, Mishi Yisrog, there's the word Sirug, when you are stitching three batim, three houses, right? Remember the Mishnah on Shabbos? Whenever we talk about batim, we mean basically the perpendicular, meaning that the bed already had all the lengthwise ropes, and now we're stitching a cross, a perpendicular. So when you do three of them, now the bed is a bed. So you see from this Mishnah on Kalim, that when we were describing a bed and we were saying the word sirug, we're talking about both the vertical and the horizontal. Okay? So now, Ella Kiyasa Ravin. So now the Gemara says, so now we're going to have to revisit the Machlokis in our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah is describing sirug. And the way that Rav Dimi came, when he came in from Eretz Yisrael, he said, at least according to one opinion, you know what sirug means? Just putting in one direction but not the other direction. Nah, really hard to imagine. Especially after we just learned the Mishnah in Kalim. Really hard to imagine. So, Kiyasa Ravin, good. Just like I predicted. I didn't predict. I saw the Gemara before this moment. So, Kiyasa Ravin, Amar, B'misargin, Kolei Amalo, Pli, Yidish, Shesti, Be'erev. Misareg means both going in both directions. Both the length and the width. Elaki pligi b'mematzkin. The only debate amongst the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael is, what is the definition of mematzkin? Marsa b'mematzkin shesli below Erev. So according to one position, it's just going in one direction, but not in the cross direction. Marsa b'shimaya rafu mematzcho. And the other position is no. That you can't do any stitching whatsoever. Mituach, according to Rav Yossi, is only that if the ropes get a little bit loose, you can tighten it. Meisve, the Gemara challenges based on a brace of Misargonis Amita Vein Tzarech Lamar Shememachin Diver Rabbi Meir. I could do Sirug and I could for sure do Mituach Diver Rabbi Meir. Good, that's our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Amar Memachin Avol Misargin, and Rabbi Yossi says I could do Mituach but I can't do Sirug. Good, that's Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. So far, the brace perfectly complements what we learned back in the Mishnah. V'yesh Omrim, this is why we're quoting the brace, because there's a third opinion. Ein Memachin Kol Iker. That I cannot do mituach at all. That's a third opinion recorded in the Braisa. Now the Gemara analyzes. So if mituach is going in one direction, but not in both directions. So then I understand the third opinion. The third opinion is, no, I can't go in any direction. I can't even just do a stitching in one direction of the bed. But if the middle position, Rav Yossi, is, well, you know what mituach means? Mituach means I can't tighten the bed. So, sorry, I can tighten the bed. If that's what mituach means, so then what's the Yesh Omrim saying? No, you can't do that. All you're doing is just tightening. L'Yesh Omrim Mematcho Nami Lo. The Gemara says, is that really possible? That there's a position that I can't even tighten the stitching of the bed? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's possible. Somebody could actually be that Machmer. And why would somebody be that Machmer? Because the Gemara says, the stitching of the bed is loose. So that means when you lie down on the bed, basically you droop down. Okay, you're sagging to the ground, and it's uncomfortable. It's chol hamoed. So this third geshomrima position is, here's what you do. Take your clothing, put it under the bed. I know there are sources that discuss putting clothing under the bed, but take clothing, and sources that say that that's a problem. But take your clothing, put it under the bed, and that'll prop up the bed. And that way you won't sag on the ground. And better to do that, according to the Yeshomrim, than to actually tighten the stitching of the bed. That's in other words, basically Gemara says there's a possibility to have this third opinion that I can't even tighten the stitches.
The assumption that when you tie the bed, it's not going to be a boomer. It's going to be like a...
Yeah, in other words, right. Perfect. Anyone could do it. Correct. All right, next Mishnah. Ma'aminim tanur v'kirayim. A person can set up an oven and a kira, a mini oven on chol hamoed. Right, cooking on chol hamoed is permissible. I mean, cooking on yantif is permissible, but on chol hamoed, you can even go further than just cooking. Setting up the oven also would be fine as well. Tanur kirayim, tanur big oven, kira is a small oven. Take a look at Rashi over here. Take a look at the Bach over here. I'm going to fast forward this discussion in terms of the actual definitions of tanur and kira, and take a look at the first Mishnah of the third parak in Shabbos, where it doesn't totally agree with Rashi's presentation over here. Again, I just went over that really quickly. Let's go on. And also a millstone, right? You're going to grind your flour. So you could set up the millstone as well. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein mechapshin es harechayim betchila. And Rav Yehuda says, you cannot do kibush to your millstone betchila to begin with. Okay, that's a word which we're going to need to define. The Gemara is going to go right to it. My mechapshin. Rav Yehuda Amar Menaker. So Rav Yehuda says, Menaker Rechaya. So Rav Yehuda says, Menaker Rechaya. So anyone grind wheat? Okay, usually my response to this is, I haven't. Happens to be, I have. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, they have many places where you can go, where you can pretend you live 2,000 years ago. The place we went to was up in Hoshaya. It's right, what was once referred to as Sipori. Right, Kfar Kedem. So you went there also. Okay. So great. I highly recommend it. So basically it's one stone on top of another stone, and there are ridges on the stones and the area in the stones that meet, and you turn the top stone. There's a hole in the top stone. You pour the grain into the hole, and then you turn. And as you're turning now, the ridges obviously are going to create a tremendous amount of friction on the grain, and it's going to turn it into flour, and the flour is going to come out in the sides. Okay, grinding 101. So now, what can you do on chol hamoed? All this to get us to the point of the Mishnah. So what can you or what can't you do on chol hamoed? So again, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein mechabshin. I can't do kibush. So now, what does that mean? So now let's go back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Menakerechaye. So basically, right? You can imagine, right? You're turning the stones all day. Eventually, those ridges are going to get smoothed down, and once they get smoothed down, it's not going to grind as well. So you want to make new ridges. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot do. You can't make new ridges in the stones. Excuse me. So Rabbi Yechiel Amar Bat Eina. Rav Yechiel says to put a hole in the top stone, right? As I described, pictures here is worth more than 1,000 words, but as it described, in other words, in the top stone there would be a hole where I would put the kernels of wheat into the hole in order so that the kernels of wheat would be sitting between the two stones. What you can't do is you can't put a hole in the stone. Okay. It's right. Rav Yehuda would say that that's something could have done before Chol HaMoed, something along those lines. Reb Lazar says you can set up a oven, but not gemar malacha. I don't exactly know what that means, but you can go through most of the steps of setting up the oven, but at least leave the last stage off. The chachamim omrim af yigmor, and the chachamim say no. Chol hamoed, you can cook, you can set up an oven, and with no reservation. Reb Yehuda omrim mishmo ma'amidim et achareisho machabshin es yishana. The Yesh Omrim Ein Mechabshin Kol Ikar. Now there are two versions in this Brisa according to Rabbi Yehuda. One version is you could set up a new millstone, and you could do kibush to an old millstone. And according to another version, you can't do kibush at all. Our Mishnah seems to side with the second version of the Brisa. Either way, We're just right now we're worried about the definition of what kibush is.
The thing is that millstone is like so heavy, isn't that so just lifting it?
The millstone, it happens to be that one I worked with was like a hand one, but okay, you're right. Generally speaking, they're larger. So bishlam aman dama mechapshim menakere chayahan the mishkach halab yishana. Now, one interpretation was to create new ridges. I totally understand how you have an old millstone and you did make ridges, but because you kept grinding and grinding, the ridges got smoothed out. So it makes sense, meaning that there's such a thing as doing kibush with an old millstone. But elamanda amar baseina yishana baseina lamala. But to create a hole in the top of the top stone, how in the world was this millstone functioning without a hole to begin with? Meaning, what in the world are we talking about when Rabbi Huda and the Braisa says, oh, if it's an old millstone, oh, you can't make a hole in the top. Well, why wouldn't it have had a hole in the top? So the Gemara says, Kagun dekabai larva chetvei porta. So the Gemara says, no, it had a hole. What you want to do on Chalamot is you want to widen the hole. That's what the Braisa is referring to. And so both interpretations could fit into the Braisa as well. Rav Huna shamelahu garba dekamenaka rechai b'chol demoada. Rav Huna heard that a person was making new grooves in his millstone on Cholamoid. Amar man hayitzchal gufe de kamachel cholam de moada. To put it simply, Rav Huna was not happy. To make it to give a little more definition to the Gemara, this person's body should be defiled as this person defiled Cholamoid. In other words, he agreed with Rabbi Huda of our Mishnah, and so this person who was violating Rabbi Huda's rule of creating new grooves in the millstone, so Rav Huna said about this person, he was desecrating Chol HaMoed. And he holds like, in other words, not just the Mishnah, he holds like the Yeshomrim of the Braisa. So, okay. Darsh Rav Chama Nokrin Rechaim B'Moed Mishom, sorry, Nokrin Rechaim B'Moed. The Gemara gives a psak, right? Darsh in this context means not drasha, but darsh means he goes out and tells the people, this is the halacha, and that is, you're allowed to be menaker. You're allowed to create the ridges in the millstone. Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, afilu susha rochev alav, v'chamash rochev alav. Mutter litol tziparnayim b'chol shamoi. You have a horse or a donkey that you're riding on top of, so you're allowed to clip its nails on Chol HaMoed. So first of all, there's a general assumption is that you're allowed to ride animals on Chol HaMoed. Yontif, you're not allowed to ride animals, right? The Gzera Durabanan, but on Chol HaMoed, you are allowed to ride animals. If you take a look at the bottom Tosus over here, Susha Rochev Lav, Tosus Perish Bit Tosefta, Litzarech HaMoed. Yes, you can ride horses on Chol HaMoed, but it has to be Litzarech HaMoed, right? I need to get from point A to point B.
But, correct.
In other words, if you want to translate that, right? In other words, let's start off from the first point, meaning you're allowed to drive a car on Chol HaMoed. I guess we all knew that to begin with, but just if take the Gemara and try to make it, you know, try to modernize the Gemara to, right, that's basically what we're saying. And then if you go with Tosfos, yeah, you're allowed to drive the car, but let's start Chol HaMoed. Right, it has to be for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. Mashmash also l'chol b'china. And Tosfos points out that certainly from the Tosefta it sounds like if you're just riding a horse for no reason that you can't do it in Chol HaMoed, it has to be for some purpose in Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says you're allowed to clip the nails of the horse on Chol HaMoed. Aval, top of Yud Amud Beis. But what you are not allowed to do is Chamed Rechaya Lo. But if it's a donkey for the millstone, that you're not allowed to do. Take a look at the top Rashi over here. Shekach Hosen Shayitochnin Agav Chamorim. Right, they would get horsepower. Here I mean this literally. They would get horsepower to operate the millstone. So Agav, let me say more literally, donkey power. So Agav Chamorim Lamatzi L'Mishkol Lahu Chamot Tziparnav. That donkey can't clip the nails. Rashi writes the Lamatzi L'Mitzkam B'Moed. Because grinding on Chol HaMoed is acceptable only for Chol HaMoed. So therefore only a small amount of grinding you can do on Chol HaMoed. You cannot mass grind on Chol HaMoed, and so therefore your donkey will not be necessary. Therefore you're not allowed to tend to the donkey for the purposes of operating your millstone. top of Yudam and Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Sharla Mishkal Tufa Lachamar Derechayay. Rabbi Yehuda allows it. Rabbi Yehuda permits you to clip the nails of your donkey that's going to be powering your millstone. Ula ukme rechayay, and to set up a millstone. And ula mivde rechayay, and to build a rechayay. To build a millstone. And ula mivne amas rechayay. Rashi explains amas rechayay means in this context. The eighth shayrechaim banu alav, some sort of wooden frame where the millstone was sitting upon. Ulemivne urye, and to build an urye. Again, look at Rashi. Rashi writes refes bakar, a trough for your animals, so that you're allowed to build on chol hamoed. Rabba shavar lesruke susya. Rabba allows you to comb your horse on chol hamoed. Right? Rashi lasruk susim bemisrek shel barzel. Using iron combs, right? Remember your Mishnah and Beitzah. The Mishnah and Beitzah says on Yontif itself, this would be prohibited activity. It's going to create a wound in the animal, which you're not allowed to do. Also, it may remove hair off the animal, and Yontif you're not allowed to do. But on Chol HaMoed, it would be permitted. Gemara doesn't give much explanation in terms of why it's permitted on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that requires more analysis. So I'm sorry. Shalos Lesurke Susya. Ulemivne arkapita, you're allowed to build an arkapita. Rashi, mashe masimam hatfu l'toch lifnei asusin shekorein. Right, this is also a trough. Ulemivne itzdaba, and to build a bench on chol hamoed. Again, all these are for chol hamoed, and therefore you're allowed to build it on chol hamoed. Rav Shaul Lamishka dama lebehema b'chol demoada. Rav allows medicinal treatment of your horses on chol hamoed, specifically bloodletting. That's acceptable on Chol HaMoed, even to your horses. Amalei Abai Tain Demesai Elach Abai says, I have a price for supporting this as well. Mekizin Dam LaBehema Ve'ein Monim Refu LaBehema Ve'chol Shel Moed. You're allowed to bloodlet and do any type of medical treatment to animals on Chol HaMoed. Rav Ashar Lechzachsuche Kirmei. Rav allows you to, so from the Gemara itself, difficult words, not exactly clear. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, it seems from Rashi we're basically talking about ironing. You're allowed to iron on Chol HaMoed. I'm not giving a halachic psak over here. Could be that our ironing is slightly more involved, but that's just, it certainly sounds like from Rashi. My time on Maaseh HaJehud. The Gemara says it's Maaseh HaJehud. It is, it's not a professional activity, and therefore it would be acceptable on Chol HaMoed. Kiture bire, what exactly that is. So Rashi offers two explanations. The second explanation of Rashi is to put pleats in your clothing. So that is prohibited on Chol HaMoed. My time on Maisa Umanu. The Gemara says that's Maisa Uman, that's professional. A person who is preparing his field. Now, we spent the first week of the Masechta talking about how field work on Chol HaMoed is generally prohibited. Okay, certain things that you're allowed to do in your field on Chol HaMoed, but field work is generally prohibited. So over here, basically, he's clearing an area in his field. Adaita de beidari sharei, adaita de ari aser. It depends what the person's intentions are. If he's just clearing area in his field to set up his millstone, that, the Gemara says, Rava says, that's okay. If he's clearing his field because he wants a better field, that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, that is working your field on Chol HaMoed, that's prohibited. Hechidami. So the Gemara says, now Hechidami. Hechidami in this context basically means, how do I know what his intentions are? Meaning intention is nice, but how is it revelatory? So take a look at how he's clearing his field. Mulya ba mulya, venatza benatza adaita de beidare, shaka mulya vishada benatza adaita de ara. Okay, now, the reading of the Gemara over here is subject to different readings. There are different gersos in the Gemara. I'll present the Gemara like Rashi. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi over here says, Mulya b'mulya. I'm reading Rashi. Shenota akarka mimakum gavoa, menichu sham agabe makum gavoa. If by clearing the field you're taking earth from a high point, and you're putting it on a high point, haina mulya b'mulya, natsa b'natsa, take a look at the next Rashi. Shechofer b'makum namuch, menichu b'makum namuch. I'm taking dirt from a low area and placing it onto another area of low area, another low area. Hainu adaita da ara v'aser. That is, your purpose is now to improve the land, and that would be prohibited. It's funny, and I know this, what I'm about to say conforms to the other reading, which is, I would have said no. If I want to improve the land, I want to level the land by taking dirt from a high point and putting it in a low point. But that's clearly not Rashi's reading of the Gemara. Rashi says, if I'm taking from high and putting on high, or taking from low and putting on low, that's for land improvement. That is how Charisha is generally done. Because there, when I'm plowing the land, I put the plow in the ground, and I don't care if it's from a high point, from a low point, meaning that's Charisha. However, next Rashi. If I'm leveling the ground, why do I want level ground? Because I want an area to put my millstone down, that's permissible. Hainu adaita de beidari adaita de goren shekach darko shegoren shemashve hagranos vezemote. So there I'm creating a granary because I want level ground, and that on Chol HaMoed would be permissible. Amar Rava, back to the Gemara. Haiman de zachi zichi adaita de sivi shari adaita de ara asar. A person collecting wood, if he wants the wood, meaning fuel, so that's fine. If he wants to improve the ground, that's not fine. Hey chidami, again, same question. How do we know what his intentions are? Shakal raver veveshakal zutre, because if he's taking the big twigs, leaving the little twigs, clearly he wants fuel. Adaita ditzivi. Shakal raver vevezutre adaita da'ara. But if he's taking all the wood from the field, the big twigs, the little twigs, so then he wants to improve his land, and that you're not allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. Amarava haiman de pasach maila are. A person opening up a water system onto his field. So again, irrigation of the field. I know that was the first topic we discussed in the Masechta. Irrigation of the field. If he wants to improve his land, that's prohibited. Adaita de kavre share. But if he just wants to fish, meaning it is a natural water source, and what he wants to do is basically let out the water onto his land, not because he wants to irrigate his field, but he lets out the water, fish are going to come together with it. It'll be an excellent way of just simply catching fish on Chol HaMoed. Trapping on Yantav Asur, trapping on Chol HaMoed Mutter. So if he's doing it for the fish, then it's going to be Mutter. And again, Adaita Dari Asur. Hey Chidami, so Gemara says again, how do we know what his intentions are? Pasach Shrei Ba Ve'echad Me'ilai Ve'echad Mitasai Adaita Dekavri. If he's opening up two openings for the water, from the high point and the low point, so basically the water is going to pass through his field and not stop on his field. And the only benefit is that the fish are going to stop on his land. So that's good. Meaning that basically then he's fishing. But if he's only opening up the top opening of the water, and so the water is going to flood his field, not flood his field, but go onto his field and have no exit, and basically now he's watering his land, so he could say, yeah, I want the fish. You also want the water. And the Gemara says that's also.
But what if he doesn't really have the Kavanah?
Right. So here, Kavanah over here, I mean, when the Gemara is following up all these Kavanahs with Hechi Dami, so over here, it sounds like from the Gemara that Kavanah...
Isn't
that kid from an essay? Yeah. All right. The Davashen Miskavan, meaning... Okay. Rava Haiman... I'm sorry. The Amar Rava Haiman de Pashach Dikla. A person is now trimming his trees. So, adaita de chiyusa shari, adaita de dikla asar. So, if he wants the wood, so then that would be okay. The wood over here, I don't mean the wood, right? Rashi over here says chiyusa, meaning his animals, meaning he wants to take the fronds and feed it to his animals. That's fine. But if he wants to improve his tree on Chol HaMoed, that's not fine. Hey chidame, again, the follow up. How do we know? So the Gemara says shaku kol mechad gisa adaita de chiyusa. If he's not being symmetrical in the way he's removing the fronds off the palm tree, so that means that he's obviously using the palms to feed his animals, the fronds to feed his animals. Mehagisa. But if he's being symmetrical in how he's taking the fronds off the tree, adaita dedikla, that is demonstrative of the fact that he's looking to improve his tree. And also, and therefore it's going to be also. Amar Rava Hainatamre Tuchana Migizrayu Share. Meitsaina Asr. If you're taking off the dates, so if you're taking them off in order to be eaten, right? Take a look at Rashi. They're not totally ripe dates, meaning the removal of ripe dates off a tree That's obvious, meaning that's fine. But we're talking about the dates that are not totally ripened. So, if the purpose is to cut them up into two, look at the next Rashi. So in other words, they're unripened, but with a little bit of work and preparation, they're edible, that's fine. However, if I'm looking to squeeze out the juice and basically dry them out, that you're not allowed to do. Why are you not allowed to do that? Again, look at Rashi. To press them, or mostly lecha, removing the juice from them. Lechutz hainu aser. Rashi writes, she'achshav eina nitla'im ela la'asos mehem simukim la'achlan b'chol hu mekaveh. Clearly what you're doing is you're looking to prep it for after Chol HaMoed. And because you're looking to prep it for after Chol HaMoed, you're doing activity on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed. No good.
What if there's a financial loss if he doesn't...
Yeah, if it's good. Rapapa Amar. Kevan de... You got the next line. Rapapa Amar. Kevan de mitla'e... And Rav Papa says, well, it's going to get wormy. And because it's going to get wormy, meaning if I don't press it right now, it's the worms are going to infest. And because the worms are going to infest, so this is going to be considered Davar Aved. And even though he's doing it for Achar Moed, he's doing it on Moed for Achar Moed, but now this falls under the category of Davar Aved, and therefore it would be acceptable. It's Rav Papa's contribution to Rav's statement. Okay, just quickly recap, and we'll stop over here. So today we finished with the cosmetic discussion of the women, and then the Gemara top of Daf Yud discussed the last parts of the Mishnah, stitching the bed. What exactly is the machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi? Stitching the bed, tightening the bed, two different interpretations, Rav Dimi and Ravin. The next Mishnah talked about setting up an oven on Chol HaMoed, and using the millstone on Chol HaMoed, and Rav Yehuda's prohibition of kibush. You're not allowed to do kibush to the millstone. What exactly does that mean? A couple of interpretations in the Gemara as well. And then the Amud Beis, a number of statements of Rava of the do's and don'ts on Chol HaMoed. We went over, if I'm not mistaken, so far seven statements of Rava, and the eighth one we will continue with tomorrow.